UpToDate wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Mama peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I ever get back, no, no.
This is UpToDate on KCUR 89.3. I'm Steve Kresge. The other day, when Royals owner John Sherman announced his plans to spend $2 billion for a new downtown baseball stadium and baseball district, he unleashed a series of big questions. Among them, how much public money would be needed? What exactly would be Sherman's commitment? Where would the complex be located? And how successful are these baseball districts to begin with? Lots of questions. We have some people here who can shed some light on them. With us, Neil DeMoss is editor of a website called Field of Schemes. That's a companion to the book by the same name that Neil co-authored. The book takes a critical look at the roughly $2 billion a year in public subsidies that go towards building new pro sports facilities. Neil, it's nice to have you. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Paul Goldberger is an architectural critic and author of Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. He's a fan of downtown baseball. Paul, nice to have you as well. Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Good to be here.
And just a quick note, we reached out to John Sherman, owner of the Kansas City Royals, and he declined to appear. Well, Neil, what do you make of what John Sherman has proposed here? Do you know enough to make a judgment?
Yeah, it's a little early, right? I mean, he's mentioned a $2 billion number figure, but then he also said that he personally was going to put hundreds of billions of dollars into the ballpark and the ballpark district. So that's a fairly large gap still remaining. There's obviously been talk about continuing the county sales tax and putting some of that money in, but it seems like there's still a large gap. So we're still not really clear who would be paying for this. Or, you know, exactly what it would comprise, right? I mean, the idea is something downtown with some kind of ballpark district around it. But there are still a lot of questions.
Paul, what's your initial reaction to what you're hearing about this big new proposal for a new stadium and a district around the ballpark here in Kansas City?
Well, in general, you know, I'm a big fan of downtown baseball. I think baseball integrates beautifully into downtowns. It stimulates growth. There's something very natural about walking through a dense downtown and going to a baseball game that for me is very different from the sort of more suburban experience of coming in a car and parking and walking across acres of asphalt to go into something. That said, I'm not a fan of giving owners a blank check either. And so, you know, the issue of paying for it, I think, has to be separated out from the issue of whether or not it's a good thing on its own terms. I think it is a good thing on its own terms, but that doesn't mean I think that the Royals should have a blank check from the city and county and state for doing whatever they please.
You know, Paul, you hear Royals owner John Sherman toss out a price tag of like $2 billion, and you know your eyeballs about fall out of their sockets. Any sense of how doable a number of that size is for a city, a mid-sized city like Kansas City?
Well, first, I'm not sure whether that number refers to just the ballpark or the entire district he's proposing around it. You know, one of the most interesting things to compare it to right now is the project that's been controversial and has still not gotten approval in Oakland. The Oakland A's want to build a new downtown stadium, getting away from the old Coliseum, which is one of the older and less functional ballparks in major league use right now. And they proposed an entire district near the waterfront. They would have a lot of housing and so forth, which they want to act as a kind of co-developer on. There are complicated pluses and minuses to that, too, and it may not happen. But my question is, in Kansas City, you know, I don't know whether $2 billion refers to all the ancillary stuff that might happen around it, some of which could be ultimately profitable but would still cost money to build, and or whether it's just the stadium, the ballpark itself.
I mean, I believe it's not just a stadium. It includes some ancillary items
here. Right. The entire development, really. Yeah.
Neil, what are your thoughts about this notion that we're talking about a price tag of $2 billion here and how doable that is for a city the size of Kansas City?
Yeah, I mean, whether that's for the entire project, which seems like, or just the stadium, it's clearly an awful lot of money. And Sherman has at this point only committed to putting in hundreds of millions of dollars of his own money towards the entire project. So that's still a fairly large gap. Obviously, there's the county sales tax that has been used for the stadiums that could be extended. But that's only going to bring in, you know, a few hundred million more at most. So there's a large gap to be filled there. And, you know, it's not like these things tend to spin off an awful lot of money, right? I mean, economists have looked at this, these kinds of projects for decades now. And it's not like it's an enormous cash cow that you just have to figure out, you know, how to equitably split the proceeds. You know, they cost an awful lot and they bring in some money, but not a ton. So it's going to be a challenge to figure out something that is fair for all parties.
Neil, why don't they bring in a ton? Because at least in theory, you've got, 81, 82 dates a year, home games in your downtown. That's a lot of dates. You have people coming in from out of town, from all over the Midwest, in theory, for an attraction like this. You would think it would be something of a cash cow.
You would think, but, you know, there's a couple things. First of all, obviously, you know, the Royals, even if they don't play downtown right now, do play in the region. So a lot of people are going to be coming from out of town and staying, you know, in Kansas City. You know, people who might be going to games now. If more people are going to games, they are doing something else now that they're spending money, right? So there's that sort of cannibalization effect where, you know, you get people spending at one thing but not another thing, and it winds up being a wash in terms of economic activity. Again, there's not zero impact, but when you're talking about a place that sure is open 81 days a year but is dark the other, you know, almost 300 days a year and is dark most of the day because it's only open 3-4 hours – you know, you're really talking about something that is, you know, I think I've seen calculations that a, you know, baseball stadium has about the same economic impact as like a small supermarket or medium sized supermarket, which is not nothing, but, you know, not, you know, the kind of thing that you build an entire development plan around.
Paul, does that strike you as a reasonable comparison?
Well, probably if you just simply separate the dollars and cents, yes. But, you know, a baseball park does have the ability to stimulate an entire downtown and fill in gaps and make it feel like a denser, more energetic place. I mean, think about if we go from Kauffman Stadium to Kauffman Hall in downtown Kansas City.
Right.
You know, that isn't occupied every moment either. And yet it's a fundamentally good thing for the city. It becomes, you know, an important symbol. It generates other activity. And so forth, and fills in gaps in the city that I think are very important. No, there's no question that if you separate out the ballpark itself, it is not. It's kind of a loss leader for other things, which is why owners are now, for better or for worse, and I agree that this is somewhat of a mixed blessing. Owners are now trying to extend their reach, let's say, beyond the gates of the stadium, and develop immediate surroundings. Because if some luxury condo buildings go up around a new downtown ballpark, as they have it very successfully in San Diego, among other places, as is proposed for Oakland, as has happened in San Francisco, and so forth, I can guarantee you that those would be profitable. And so, in fact, that's why it's a little bit misleading to say, yes, it's a $2 billion project, and the stadium itself would probably not throw off much positive cash flow in the end for all the reasons that Neil correctly explained. But a lot of the other parts of that $2 billion probably would be profitable, which is why public subsidy for them is really, in fact, not so justified, because somebody's going to be making money off those condos at one point or another anyway, and it's somewhat disingenuous to request public subsidies for aspects of a larger project that will ultimately be profitable.
Interesting. Again, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Up to Date. We're talking about the proposed new downtown baseball stadium and the surrounding entertainment complex that's being proposed by Royals owner John Sherman. Our number, 816-235-2888, or tweet us at KCUR Up to Date. Jan from Kansas City North. Jan, thanks for hanging on.
That's fine. Well, the money thing is a big issue with me to start with, and now that I hear he's only putting in about, you know, he needs to put in at least half, at least. I would be, I suppose, okay with that tax extension that we're already paying, but, you know, I just, and the positioning, I think it needs to be, if it's going to be anywhere down there, closer to the Jazz District, and there needs to be in big incentives to bringing in jobs and affordable housing over there. We're decades behind in all that kind of thing in the whole Northeast side.
Yeah.
So I really would want to have it more that way, and then hopefully filling in with various kinds of things that could go along with it to provide people work.
Okay.
You know? And hopefully attract people.
I would say you're totally right. I agree with everything you've said.
Neil,
that's absolutely right.
Neil, let me ask you a question. Jan raises an interesting point here. Typically in projects like this, what percentage of the total cost does an owner tend to put in?
I mean, it's all over the place, right? You know, and I don't know that one necessarily wants to look at how it's done elsewhere, because so many of these deals wind up being, you know, done with way too much public money, right? And that's kind of the goal of some of them, right? There are certainly places where a team owner wants to build a new stadium because he feels like the old one is really, you know, run down and we really could do better with a new one and bring in a lot more money. There are also places where it's like, oh, it's been 20 years since we asked for a, you know, check for a new stadium. Let's see if we can use this to get some more money out of the city or the county or the state.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know what the exact percentage is now, but it is anywhere from 0% to 100%. You know, just talking about the San Francisco Giants Stadium, Paul was saying that was, you know, almost entirely private, whereas, you know, there are plenty of other stadiums that are, you know, 50%, 70%, 80% public. So, yeah.
Right. Let's go to Ellen from Overland Park on the
probably. I'm sorry. I was just saying San Francisco is probably one of the best models because it's had an incredibly positive effect. It's a widely admired and even beloved ballpark, much more than Candlestick Park, which it replaced, which people really didn't like.
Right.
And it's had a lot of positive economic effect with very little public investment, mostly private.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
as Neil said, so that's the best model we have right now.
Neil,
it definitely is, and but I would also point out that, you know, as you know, I'm sure you know, a lot of that development in South of Market happened before the ballpark, right? The best way to have a ballpark that sparks development is have development already going and have it just kind
that's
of keep it moving.
Well, totally right. That it was kind of riding a wave that had already begun.
Okay.
I think that's a really important point, too, because you cannot put on the shoulders of a ballpark the entire redevelopment of a downtown.
That's interesting.
I think you can strengthen and reinforce existing trends and push them forward some more, but it can't make something out of nothing.
Okay.
And there was a lot of raw material to work with there, but there also is in Kansas City. I mean, Kansas City has had a very, you know, a lot of great strengthening of its downtown in the last generation.
It's so definitely on a roll. Yeah.
It's been on a roll, and I think that's another reason that it's a plausible idea for Kansas City, because there's a lot of existing strength in downtown to build on.
That's interesting.
And push forward some more.
Let's go to Ellen from Overland Park. Ellen, you're on Up to Date.
Hi. So my question was, what makes a ballpark unfunctioning? We have a ballpark that's functioning. There are concessions, there are places for people to park, there's plenty there. And if you want to develop, you know, something around it, then there's space to develop. I have a problem with us having to pay more taxes that will never go away, you know, some little sales tax that will never, ever go away for multi-billionaires and millionaires to get what they want that they'll make money off of. And for some reason, the city and the state and the county are supposed to give money to them so they can make more money. And we could take all that sales tax money and put it towards helping the people who live here already, who, you know, we right. can't get people to get me, but it's sport, so we can do it.
Ellen, I appreciate those remarks. Paul, what about that idea that Ellen raises that, you know, Kauffman Stadium, at least by all outward appearances, appears to be a fully functioning, operational stadium that's in pretty good shape. What are we doing here?
Well, that's a whole different point, but I have to say it's absolutely correct. Kauffman Stadium had a lot of money put into it, I think roughly a decade or so
correct.
Ago, or a little more, but not a very long time ago at all, and was beautifully updated. Kauffman Stadium was always one of the best ballparks in the major leagues anyway. It was one of the few in the decades of the 60s and 70s that was built for baseball only. You know, it was built at a time when most cities were building these inane, enormous concrete bunkers for football and baseball together that did nobody any good. They were really compromises for both sports. And Kansas City was remarkable because it was a real leader in 1972 in doing the Truman Sports Complex with two separate stadiums. No other city did that. After that, it was recognized that this was a false economy trying to put them in the same place because the needs really were different, and other cities began to follow the model of separate baseball and football stadiums, even though it seemed more expensive at the outset.
Right.
Ultimately, you serve both places better by doing them separately. By Pittsburgh, many other cities have followed that.
Right.
So, yes, you're right. Kauffman is actually one of the better places around, and I think the Royals are really looking around at the world and seeing that there's now a growing demand for downtown baseball. It has been a really positive effect in, you know, Denver, Minneapolis, so many other cities that move ballparks downtown from other locations,
right.
San Diego, San Francisco, and so forth, and are wondering, can they kind of do the same thing? But you're absolutely right that the starting point is a much better situation than any of the other cities I mentioned had when they embarked on their downtown project.
Let me get Neil in here. Neil, I would imagine you would share the concerns of our caller who's saying, hey, Kauffman Stadium is already in pretty good shape. John Sherman, the Royals owner, is saying in a statement this week that, hey, another 5 or 6 years down the road, it's going to be 60 years old. The cost of maintaining is going to exceed the cost of building new. Does that resonate with you? Make any sense?
This is a claim we're hearing a lot lately. We heard it with the Buffalo Bills football stadium, with the Tennessee Titans football stadium, that, oh, you know, it's going to cost so much to renovate that we might as well just build a new one. And in both of those cases, there's been a lot of controversy because the team owners have not actually come up with the numbers, you know, to explain why it's going to cost so much, you know. Obviously, with Kauffman, it's just gotten a lot of renovations not that long ago. So it's not like, you know, it's a 60-year-old building that hasn't been done anything with.
Right.
But I think, you know, there's a term that team owners sometimes like to use, which is economically obsolete, which, as near as I can understand it, means, well, it's not actually obsolete in the sense that people don't like going to games there or it's falling down or anything like that. But we're not making as much money as we could if we had a newer place. So, you know, there's some of that here, I think, is that it's not like there's anything.
Neil is 100% right on that. You know, I think if we were supposed to be taking opposite sides here, we're not really, because I agree completely with that. They will disingenuously pretend that there is physical obsolescence when what they really mean is it's economically obsolete, that they can't make as much money as they can from a different type of new facility. But there is, as I said, there's always a mix of the kind of rational and irrational arguments here. That's the kind of disingenuous one, because they just want to make more money. The more wholesome one, to use that word if I can, is that, you know, downtown baseball is a fundamentally good thing. And it would be a good thing for Kansas City, which has done so much mm-hmm. in the last generation to strengthen its downtown and make it, I think, one of the better medium-sized downtowns in America.
Right. Neil, go ahead.
So it's a very hard call for all these reasons.
But, yeah, Neil.
Agreed. Yeah, I was just going to say, and then the question becomes, you know, how much is it worth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, how much right. is it worth to John Sherman to build downtown? How much is it worth to the city to build downtown, right? There's something to be said for, well, maybe, you know, the choice to build Kauffman where it is wasn't what we would do if we were doing it now. But on the other hand, we don't have to spend $2 billion.
Right,
we don't.
Right. Right. Gentlemen, I have lots of phone calls here. Let me grab some of them now. David from Kansas City, Missouri. David, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I was just kind of, I had always had the belief that to get more people in Kauffman or to get people more in the downtown area, why don't we spend $2 billion on public transit? If we had an actual subway system or a light rail to get people around Kansas City, we would actually be able to have, you know, 20,000 people come from Kansas City or from Kauffman to downtown.
Mm-hmm. Okay, David, I appreciate that. I'm going to go to Bill from Waldo, who's raising a question about the Power and Light District. We had a tweet here from Lynn, who's asking the same thing, this notion of what impact would a new stadium have on the Power and Light District. Bill, go ahead.
Yes, the city is already subsidizing the Power and Light District to the tune of $14 million a year because they bought phony economic projections years ago. We already have a subsidized entertainment district. Spend the money on a ball team that's competitive. We don't need more tax subsidies for an entertainment district.
Yeah. Bill, I appreciate that. And Neil, that raises the question of where we would place this new stadium and complex. It's critical. We do have a thing called the Power and Light District yep. right in the heart of our downtown that hasn't been successful, at least in terms of the city's having to bail it out every year. What about that part of this?
Yeah, we're back to cannibalization again, right? You know, that there's only so much money that people in a city are going to spend, whether it's on going to baseball games or going to movies or going to restaurants or going to anything else. So if you start spending more one place, you're going to probably be taking money away from somewhere else. My favorite story about this was during the 94 baseball strike. The CBC, I think it was, went around Toronto talking to people saying, you know, how do you feel about the fact that the Blue Jays aren't playing? And they went to this comedy club and the owner was like, oh, my God, it's so great. Suddenly we've got all these people here because they're not going to baseball games. We wish the NHL would go on strike, too.
Interesting. Let me go to Nancy from Overland Park. Nancy, you're on the air.
Hi. Part of my question is, like, who is paying for maintenance at the K? And if it's the owners that are responsible for that maintenance that has been deferred or has been building up, are the taxpayers then being asked to, in essence, bail them out of those expenses that, I mean, I wish I could do it on my house, too. You buy me a new house, so I don't have to maintain this one.
Well, I think taxpayers have been helping a lot with refurbishment and maintenance of those stadiums. Paul, any thoughts you have on this one?
Yeah, they have been. But again, as we said before, given that a great deal of money was put into Kauffman not that many years ago, very successfully, too, and to everyone's, you know, to great praise, I don't quite get the argument that this place is decrepit and falling apart and in desperate need either. So I'm a little puzzled by that. You know, a couple of years ago, I was there and toured through it with the architects. In fact, I thought it was looking better than it ever had. So much as I like it in the abstract, the idea of downtown baseball is a positive thing. In reality, you know, Kauffman's looking pretty good. I don't get this argument that this is some decrepit, falling down place in desperate need.
Mm-hmm. And Neil, you feel the same way?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Paul put it well. You know, if this were I don't know, Oakland, right, with the Oakland Coliseum, you'd have a better case. But Kauffman is not something that's in desperate need.
You know, Neil, are there examples, just to clear this one point up, that you can provide of new stadiums that didn't pan out to be as beneficial as originally promised?
I mean, I think in terms of beneficial for the city, all of them, you know, I think all the claims always are greater than what comes through. You know, you can look around at all the teams that built stadiums in the 90s and since then, you know, where attendance went up a whole lot. You know, Cleveland, for example, right? I don't want to say
Cleveland's one of the best examples. Yes, right.
Right. But, you know, Cleveland or Pittsburgh or someplace like that, you open a new stadium, there's a honeymoon effect, a bunch of people come out. And then, you know, that wears off. And then it's back to pretty much baseline levels of the same number of people coming out to the games. So, you know,
Pittsburgh,
again.
Pittsburgh's quite a beloved, admired stadium that people really do love, and I think has had an intangible effect on kind of raising the spirit of the city. Mm-hmm. Now, that's it's tough to quantify some of that stuff.
Sure.
Most of these things have been positive presences, certainly Pittsburgh very much so, that you can't quite turn into precise dollars and cents that have spun off. I mean, Neil's absolutely right that they do, you know, Cleveland had that great run for many years of sold out games.
Right.
Eventually it settled down into normalcy. You can't quantify, though, the kind of lift to the spirit. But to go back to our earlier point, Kansas City is very different from Oakland or many of these other cities or Pittsburgh that was starting out with a place that nobody liked. Or most people don't like. Mm-hmm. Kansas City is starting out with a place that maybe it's in the wrong place, but it's otherwise very much admired. And right. So it is a harder argument for that reason to make.
But, let's go to Max from the Leeds district, who owns a bar down there. Max, nice to have you. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I was calling in just because I think it would be a great tragedy to remove the stadiums from an area that otherwise is so depressed already. We're in the Leeds area, and we opened our bar about a year ago. And, I think that some transit down there would certainly make a vast difference in, I don't know, invigorating that area. And just to move it downtown feels as if it's a lost opportunity to create another booming district of other things, not just getting it all the way to downtown.
I appreciate your thoughts there, Max. We're going to have to leave our conversation there, and it was a really good one. I want to thank Neil DeMoss, again, editor of a website called Field of Schemes. He has a book by the same name. Paul Goldberger is an architectural critic, author of Ballpark, Baseball in the American City. Gentlemen, thanks for enlightening us on a whole series of issues. Very much appreciated. Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Danny Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.